Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Mario Ritter, Jr. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Coming up on the show, we have reports from Jill Robbins and John Russell. Brian Lynn brings us the science report. And we close the show with the lesson of the day. But first,
as the price of fuel increased greatly in Ethiopia earlier this year, Ogachu Seleshi decided to buy an electric vehicle, or EV. The decision follows government efforts to slowly remove gas-powered vehicles from the roads. Months later, Seleshi is not sure whether it was the right decision. He now faces an uneven supply of electricity and a lack of parts for repair. He told the Associated Press that imported parts from China are costly, and few mechanics are able to fix such cars, and the resale value of such cars is poor. Seleshi's problems are like those of many in Ethiopia. In January, the East African country became the first in the world to ban imports of non-electric private vehicles. The decision eased pressure on the government's use of limited foreign currency to lower the cost of fuel. In early October, Ethiopia's government raised the price of fuel by up to 8% as part of a plan to slowly end fuel subsidies in Africa's second most populous country. Officials say more than 100,000 electric cars are imported into the country each month, and the government hopes to increase that number by 2030. By that time, the country's new dam on the Nile River is expected to produce electricity at full power. Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed said earlier this year that the Grand Renaissance Dam will start producing more than 5,000 megawatts of electric power within a year. Officials say such a production level would support the move to electric vehicles. For now, many in Addis Ababa, a city of more than 5 million people, think the country is not ready to provide enough charging stations and repair services. The few service station owners who can fix broken electric vehicles say they have too much work, and the EV owners say they are overcharged by repair shops because of a lack of competition. Many EVs are now parked, waiting for parts to come from China. Barreo Hassan Barreo is the transport minister. Barreo believes Ethiopia can be a model nation with a green economy, especially with the move toward electric vehicles. He said that the government will invest in public charging stations and has plans to manufacture EV batteries to reduce imports. Private efforts to manufacture EVs with South Korean carmaker Hyundai in Ethiopia, however, have collapsed over sourcing of materials. Samson Berhan, an economist based in Addis Ababa, said the sudden flood of EVs into the country makes it difficult for owners to find charging stations. But he believes Ethiopia can provide enough electricity for EVs within the next 10 years while meeting its industrial goals. Some Ethiopians are already giving up on electric vehicles. Yared Aramayu sold his Chinese-made EV at a loss and bought a used Toyota Corolla. He said the EV frequently broke and the repair shop was overcharging. Taxi driver Darajay Hailu said he had high hopes for his Chinese-made EV earlier this year. But now, he says, with such a car, I fear I might be stuck if I go far from Addis Ababa, where there are no charging stations. I'm Jill Robbins.
Martin Edwards studies the shadows of the ancient forest from a high seat and waits. Sitting still, he watches with his special camera. Then, Edwards aims and fires his rifle. He has killed a male deer, or buck. It was one of many wild deer found in this forest in Hampshire, southern England. Edwards supports controlling the deer population with a method called humane deer management. The idea is to make sure the animals do not become too numerous for the forests and farmland in a country where deer no longer have natural predators. A predator is an animal that catches and kills other animals for food. There are now more deer in England than at any other time in the last 1,000 years, says the Forestry Commission, the government department looking after England's public forests. An estimated 2 million deer now live in the country. The high deer numbers have had a big effect on the environment, officials say. Deer have damaged large areas of woodland, including young trees, as well as the living areas of some birds, like robins. Some landowners have lost large amounts of crops to deer, and overpopulation means that the animals are more likely to suffer from starvation and disease. Forestry experts and businesses argue that killing the deer and supplying the meat to consumers is a good idea. The reduced deer population can bring back balance to the environment and provide a low-fat, sustainable protein. Deer meat is called venison. It is a red meat similar to lean beef, but with a stronger flavor. Although many in Britain see venison as a high-end food, one support group sees it as a good protein for those who do not have enough money to buy other meats. Why not utilize that fantastic meat to feed people in need? Said S.J. Hunt of the Country Food Trust. The group gives meals made with wild venison to food banks. The government says native wild deer play a role in healthy forest environments. Still, the government admits that the deer population needs controlling. But experts like Edwards, a spokesman for the British Association for Shooting and Conservation, believe killing them for meat is the only effective choice. The deer population increased greatly during the COVID-19 pandemic. Hunters, like everyone else, stayed home, and the restaurant market, the main source for venison sales in Britain, disappeared overnight. There were no sales of venison, and the price was absolutely on the floor, said Ben Rigby, a leading venison and game meat seller. The deer had a chance to breed massively. Rigby's company now processes hundreds of deer a week. The business sends venison or steaks to restaurants and food markets. One difficulty, Rigby said, is growing people's taste for venison. This is especially important after Brexit put new barriers up for exporting the meat. In England, shooting deer is legal under some restrictions. Hunters must have a permit, use certain kinds of firearms, and observe open seasons. They also need an acceptable or valid reason, such as when a landowner permits them to kill the deer when their land is damaged. Hunting deer with groups of dogs is illegal. Making wild venison more widely available in food stores and beyond will bring out more hunters and ensure the meat does not go to waste, Edwards said. Forestry England, which controls public forests, is part of the effort to increase venison use. In recent years, it supplied some hospitals with 1,000 kilograms of wild venison to use for food. The approach appears to have been well received. However, it has gotten some criticism from animal welfare group PETA. PETA supports veganism, the practice of not eating or using animal products. S.J. Hunt of the Country Food Trust said it is possible to do much more with the meat. Her organization provided hundreds of thousands of venison meals to food banks last year, and people are hungry for more, she said. She described the meat as nutritious and free range to the purest form of that definition. I'm John Russell.
Scientists say newly examined data from a Chinese explorer on Mars adds to existing evidence that the planet once had a very large ocean. The exploring vehicle, or rover, is called Jurong. It landed on the Martian surface in 2021. The rover has been operating in an area known as Utopia Planitia. This area is a large plain in Mars's northern hemisphere, the American space agency NASA explains. The researchers combined data from Jurong's instruments with observations from satellites and spacecraft orbiting Mars. The team said the examinations appeared to show that Utopia Planitia had geological elements suggesting an ancient ocean coastline. The scientists said multiple elements or features pointed to evidence that a large ocean existed on Mars billions of years ago. The discovered surface features included troughs and channels that may have been formed by flowing water on Mars. Earlier research that examined data of similar surface features suggested they might have been created by mud volcanoes, which likely formed in areas where there had been water or ice. The researchers said the evidence suggests the area likely contained deep ocean environments as well as shallow ones. The research findings were recently reported in a study in the publication Scientific Reports. Bo Wu was the lead writer of the study. He is a planetary scientist at Hong Kong Polytechnic University. Wu told Reuters news agency, we estimate the flooding of the Utopia Planitia on Mars was approximately 3.68 billion years ago. The ocean surface was likely frozen in a geologically short period. The search for water on Mars is closely linked to the search for signs of possible life. Evidence of a past ocean raises the possibility that the planet may have once supported microbial life. There have been past studies suggesting Mars once had a large northern ocean. One such study was released in 2022. That research was based on satellite images of the Martian surface. The images were combined to produce detailed maps of the planet's northern hemisphere. Examination of the maps led to evidence of coastlines that once sat at the edge of a large ocean. Another study, released in August, presented evidence suggesting Mars may contain a large ocean deep beneath its surface. That evidence was based on NASA's InSight lander. China's Zhurong rover began its data collection mission in May 2021. It stopped operating about 1 year later, with mission planners saying the power system was likely affected by sand and dust. But the rover still outlasted its planned mission of 3 months. The researchers said the data shows that the ocean seems to have disappeared by about 3.42 billion years ago. The study suggests the water that likely filled the Martian ocean was heavily silted, study co-writer Sergei Krasilnikov said. He is a planetary scientist at Hong Kong Polytechnic University. Silt is a mix of sand and clay that has been carried by water but later settles on land. Krasilnikov added that during the period when the Martian ocean would have been active, the planet probably had a thick, warm atmosphere. At that time, microbial life was much more likely, he said. Hong Kong Polytechnic's Wu said the new findings do provide further evidence to support the theory of a Martian ocean. However, he told the French news agency AFP, the study does not claim that our findings definitively prove there was an ocean on Mars. Such proof, he said, would likely require a future mission to bring Mars materials back to Earth for closer study. I'm Brian Lynn.
My name is Anna Mateo.
My name is Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
You're listening to The Lesson of the Day on the Learning English podcast. Today's lesson helps you do more with Level 2 of our video series, Let's Learn English. This series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
At the beginning of Lesson 5 of Level 2, Anna feels like she needs a break from work. At that moment, she sees an advertisement near the street. The advertisement, or ad, has a question in large letters and a picture of a beach.
The question says,
"Do you need a vacation?"
The name of a travel agency is written at the bottom of the ad. It says, World's Best Travel Agency.
Agency is a word for a kind of business that helps people with some plans or that provides a service for another business. In addition to travel agency, some examples are insurance agency, advertising agency, and employment agency.
The word agency can also mean a government administration or office, such as a security agency.
Anna decides to visit the travel agency she saw in the advertisement.
And it's not just any travel agency. It should be very special because it is called the World's Best Travel Agency.
The word best is the superlative form of the adjective good. And Lesson 5 of Level 2 reviews the comparative and superlative forms.
The words better and best, and the words worse and worst, are special examples of these comparative and superlative forms.
Let's listen to the first part of Anna's visit to the agency. And be sure to listen for the superlative form.
No, you can't get your money back. I don't care that it was your worst vacation ever. Hello, have a seat. Welcome to the world's best travel agency.
Thank you, and congratulations.
For what?
For being the world's best travel agency.
Right. Thanks. Trudy, hold my calls. I'm going to sell our most expensive vacation.
The travel agent, played by our colleague Dan, thinks Anna will buy the most expensive vacation he offers because Anna believes his agency really is the best one.
In other words, he thinks Anna is naive and gullible.
That means he thinks she will believe whatever he says, and that she can be easily tricked.
Naive is spelled N-A-I-V-E, and we put two little dots above the letter I to show that we pronounce that vowel separately. And gullible is spelled G-U-L-L-I-B-L-E.
Dan tells his assistant, Trudy, to hold his calls. When we call a business, we often get put on hold on the phone. That means we have to wait to speak to someone.
Dan says, hold my calls, to show he does not want to be interrupted. Let's listen to the first kind of vacation the agent tries to sell Anna.
The mountain getaway is good for you. It's a little pricey, but think of it. You on top of a mountain for 7 days.
I'm afraid of high places.
The adjective pricey means expensive. And the comparative form is pricier. And the superlative form is priciest. Now let's listen to more vacations Dan tries to sell Anna.
I'm afraid of high places.
Of course you are. That's why our deep sea adventure is better for you. It is pricier than the mountain getaway. Just you and the animals of the sea.
Shark!
Shark! Shark!
No, there are no sharks in your dream vacation. You need the safari campout. It is our priciest vacation, but I think it's the best one for you. During the day, you'll see elephants, giraffes, and lions. At night, you'll sleep out under the stars.
Look, I think this was a bad idea.
Sure, you can leave. But then you won't see the latest vacation technology.
When Dan says the latest, he isn't referring to being on time or not being on time. Instead, we say the latest to describe something that is the newest or most modern.
For example, we can say the latest technology, the latest news, the latest styles, the latest ideas, and so on.
And in casual speech, we might ask someone, "So, what's the latest?" This just means, what is the news or most recent information about a particular topic?
Now, let's listen to Professor Bott explain a bit more.
Did you find all of those adjectives? Dan started with good. Then he moved to better. And finally, he said the safari campout was the best vacation for Anna.
You can repeat the forms to help you remember them, like this. Good, better, best. Good, better, best. Good, better, best.
And you can do the same for the negative forms. Bad, worse, worst. Bad, worse, worst. Bad, worse, worst.
Now, let's see if Dan can get Anna to stay and see the latest in vacation technology.
Sure, you can leave, but then you won't see the latest vacation technology.
Exactly what is the latest vacation technology? Exactly.
I'm happy you asked. Meet the TravelMax 2000.
Wow.
So tell me how you like to travel.
I like travel that is cozy and romantic, but still exciting.
Great. Tell me more.
I like traveling in a plane, but not in a helicopter. Planes are a little scary, but helicopters are scarier. My favorite way of traveling is by train. Ships can be the scariest. Have you seen the movie Titanic? Oh, and no horses. I will ride a camel. Oh, and no bike tours. Biking is the slowest and least romantic way to travel. Excuse me, but I think the TravelMax 2000 is on fire.
Yes, we're both on fire. We really want to sell you the most, the best vacation ever.
No, I mean, it's really on fire.
You killed it. You killed the TravelMax 2000.
I am so sorry.
Oh.
Can I help you fix it?
No, no.
Don't cry. I know what you need.
Oh.
A vacation.
Oh,
the safari campout looks fun. It is the priciest, but I think you deserve it.
No, no.
This is the smokiest lesson yet. I can't breathe. Just go to the website.
It's true. You can learn more from our website. Remember that each lesson of Let's Learn English has a lesson plan you can download for free. It explains more about the lesson and has helpful information for both students and teachers.
And listeners, here are some questions for you. You can email us your answers. What have been some of your best and worst travel experiences? What would be the best kind of vacation for you? And what is scary for you? What is the scariest situation you have ever been in?
You can email your answers to learningenglish@voanews.com. And we might mention your answers in a future podcast.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to write to us.
Remember that you can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
That's our show for today. But join us again tomorrow to keep learning English on the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Mario.